وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God is worshipped in truth other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we like to take a look at some of the responsibilities of the Muslim men. And we'll begin with that which our Lord Tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse number 56, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. And that the first responsibility of every man is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made this the goal in the life of all of humanity and the jinn, and among them are the Muslim men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, as we just stated, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. By worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to fear Allah as He ought to be feared, by obeying His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions. And this is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah has commanded us to fear Him properly and not to die except as a Muslim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept from us anything other than His deen. And His deen is al-Islam, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the religion, the deen, the way of life with Allah is al-Islam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would not accept from any Muslim man or anyone else that he die on other than the deen of al-Islam, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, also verse number 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقَبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And that whoever desires a deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing for the Muslim man his first obligation in his life, and that is to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, fearing Him as He ought to be feared, by practicing this deen of Islam and dying on this deen of Islam and not dying on other than Islam. And this Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Muslim men and the rest of the humanity to live their lives according to, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in a little more detail what is this Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in the hadith collected by al-Bukhari Muslim, Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulallah, wa iqamu as-salah, wa ita'u az-zakah, وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said Islam is based on five pillars: to bear witness to La ilaha illallah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, to establish the salah, pay the zakat, make the hajj to Allah's house, and to fast the month of Ramadan. That these five pillars are the basis of this deen, and that every Muslim man has to make sure that he has established these five pillars in his life. And the most important, after the shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, the men have to establish the salah in their lives. And establishing the salah isn't just saying, as we used to say, or some of the Muslims are still saying, I'm a Muslim. What does that mean, akhi? That means I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. Muhammad is the messenger. We're supposed to make five salat a day. We pay zakat, fast the month of Ramadan, and make hajj to Allah's house. You ask them, do you make the salat to five times a day in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you fulfilling your responsibility? And then we see, as we were mentioning earlier today, that we see the masjids overflowing with Muslim men on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, and for the rest of the 34 salat a week, we don't see the Muslim men except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided to practicing this deen of Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned the men from leaving off the salat in the masjid, showing them their responsibility of establishing it. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ آمُرَ بِحَطَبٍ فَيُحْتَطَبُ ثُمَّ آمُرُ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَيُؤَذَّنُ لَهَا ثُمَّ آمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيَؤُمَّ النَّاسَ ثُمَّ أُخَالِفَ إِلَى رِجَالٍ فَأُحَرِّقُ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتِهِمْ. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, I definitely wanted to gather some firewood, to command someone to call the adhan, to command someone else to lead the salah, and then to go to those men who remain behind and to burn their houses down. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us the obligation of establishing the five salat in the masjid for the Muslim men, and that the men shouldn't say, as some of those weak, spineless men say, when you ask them to establish the five salat in the masjid of Allah, as this is a responsibility and obligation of the Muslim man, he says the Prophet didn't get the firewood and didn't burn down the houses, so don't try to make me come because the Prophet isn't making it compulsory. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ didn't burn down the houses because the women were in there. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ taught us, that the houses are better for the women, and that though the Prophet ﷺ would have found those spineless, backboneless men who don't establish the five salat in the masjid of Allah, he would have found the women with them, because they're sitting in the house like a little girl when the men are at the masjid establishing the salat. This is an important part of the responsibility of the Muslim men to establish the five salat in the masjid. As Abdullah, and I'll mention this narration to make this point clearer, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, من سره أن يلقى الله تعالى غدا مسلما فليحافظ على هؤلاء الصلوات حيث ينادى بهن فإن الله شرع لنبيكم سنن الهدى وإنهن من سنن الهدى وفي رواية وإن من سنن الهدى الصلاة في المسجد الذي يؤذن فيه ولو أنكم صليتم في بيوتكم كما يصلي هذا المتخلف في بيته لتركتم سنة نبيكم ولو تركتم سنة نبيكم لضللتم. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. وعبدالله ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, whoever desires to meet Allah تعالى tomorrow as a Muslim, then let him guard these five salats, where the adhan is being called for the people to come make these salah. Because indeed Allah has prescribed for His Messenger sunnahs of guidance, or the ways of guidance. And indeed these five salah in the masjid are ways of guidance. And in another narration, indeed from the ways of guidance is the salah in the masjid where the adhan is called. And if you were to leave, or excuse me, and if you were to make the salah in your houses, the way that those men who do not fulfill their responsibility by remaining behind at their homes, you would have left the sunnah of your prophet. And if you left the sunnah of your prophet, you would have gone astray. And this is authentically reported by Imam Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's making it very clear that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with from our Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala sunnahs or ways of guidance that we have to follow. And this is among the biggest responsibility of any Muslim man, is to establish in his life the five salat in the houses of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as for those men who remain behind in their houses with the excuse that shaitan has overtaken them, and they don't say that shaitan has whispered to them, but that's the reality. Shaitan has whispered to those men, and they say that they don't like a particular thing that's going on in the masjid, so they remain at home. I don't like what's going on at the masjid, so I remain at home. Tell me, what type of Islam are you following when you're at home making your salat for that reason or that excuse that shaitan whispered to you in your heart? The Muslim men shouldn't be fooled by some static or whatever that may take place in any masjid, but he has to go to the houses of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the one of the biggest responsibilities of the Muslim man is to establish the salah in the masjid. And I'm surprised that men who have lived in jahiliyyah, have been guided to Islam, know the truth from falsehood, would be fooled into thinking that it's permissible to make salah in the houses because they don't like a particular brother in the masjid. Come to the masjid and make salah on the other side of the road that brother's at, or that sister's at, if it's a sister. Brothers can't be fooled by the shaitan into thinking there are some excuses for him not to come to the masjid. We have to make our salah in the masjid. If you don't want to come to a particular masjid, move and go to another masjid. And if you don't want to go to that one, keep on moving till you find a masjid you can go to. And if you can't, go to the land of the Muslims and build you a masjid and have it the way you want to so you can make salah. Because there's no excuse for the Muslim men not to establish the five salah in the masjid. And that this is one of the biggest responsibilities of the Muslim men. And I wanted to put some emphasis on it, because I'm ashamed that we can see the numbers on the day of Jumu'ah and we don't see a tenth maybe of those numbers, or even less than that, on the rest of the five salah. Among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to call the disbelievers to the deen of Islam. And that is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And this is in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 125, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I command you to call to the path of your Lord, بِالْحِكْمَةِ, which is normally translated as wisdom. And it means the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To call to the path of your Lord by the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with good exhortation, and argue or debate with them in the finest manner. Indeed, your Lord knows best who is astray from his path, and he knows best who is guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse is commanding the Muslim men to call the disbelievers to Islam. And don't let shaitan whisper, as Allah is hinting in this verse, don't let shaitan whisper to you and say, don't call so-and-so to Islam, I know he won't accept Islam. Who revealed to you, other than the shaitan, that so-and-so wouldn't accept Islam? You accepted Islam, you was the biggest kafir, you was a bigger kafir just as he was. All, most of us, we were just as big kafirs as the next kafir outside. Why he can't accept Islam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us and guided us to Islam? Allah knows best who has gone astray, and Allah knows who are the guided. We don't know who's going to be guided from those who are going astray. It's only upon us to give the message to them and not to let shaitan trick us into not giving da'wah, except when it comes to those sisters who have no intentions on accepting Islam, but we want to give da'wah to them all day long. Talk about, I know she's going to take her shahada. Nobody knows who's going to be guided and who's going to be astray. Allah knows best. It's upon the Muslim men to call to the path of our Lord, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies in Surah Yusuf. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I command you to say, this is my path. I am calling to Allah on basira, on clear proof and knowledge. And those who follow me, and subhanallah, I am not among the mushrikeen. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to call to his path, to call to the deen of Islam, but to call to it on basira, on knowledge, and on evidences, on proof. This is how we call to the deen of Allah, not on ignorance and our own desires, as we see unfortunately in America because of the freedom of speech, that any ignorant fool can call to Islam, or Islam, as they say, without any type of knowledge. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse is commanding us not just to call the people to Islam, but to call the people to Islam with the clear proofs, and as we saw in the other verse, with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with knowledge, not with our own desires and our own ignorance. As we heard just today, that a sister says she didn't know anything about Islam, and a brother gives her the book, what's the name of it? 25 years AE or something. Who among the people of knowledge said this is a book that calls or explains to the people what Islam is? And that if the people wanted to know about Islam, you give them a book talking about the days of kufr, reminiscing about the nation of kufr and the days of prostitution and the pimps. As we see today, unfortunately, people are still being pimped, and the prostitutes are still on the corners with their final call, taking their bundles out, selling them, and bringing back that money home to them big daddies and them big caddies in their houses. It's upon the believers to call to the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with knowledge and with proof. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commands us, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 104, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And let there be, or I command that there should be, a group of people from among you that are calling to the khayr, that are calling to the good. And that's to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful deen of al-Islam. And to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, those, they are the successful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding that there be a party from among us calling to this. And not like, and this is also a hint of what we were saying before, and let there be from among you those who call to the truth, those who call to that which is good. A party from among you. Those are the people who have knowledge of this deen, understand this deen, have the proof of the truth of this deen to call to Islam. And not anyone and everyone could call to Islam. And and no one had given me better advice than the brother Zay Shakir, hafizahullah, that he gave me when I accepted Islam, by telling me to tell the people, if they question you about Islam, say you believe in it, it's the truth from your Lord, until you learn enough to defend it. Because you might speak from your own desires and chase the people away from Islam. If you believe in it, and you know that Islam is the truth, and it is the truth, then you tell the people, I have believed in the truth from my Lord. Explain it to me. It's in Allah's revelation. Go read it for yourself. Go see, hasn't your Lord spoken the truth? And not to debate with the people on ignorance. Why do the women have to dress this way? Why do you have to go to the masjid this amount of times? Why don't you eat pork? Why do the men dress like this? And on about these issues. People are going to the hellfire. We sitting there trying to discuss with them why we can enjoy marrying four wives. We should be telling those people, listen, submit to your Lord before he takes your soul and enters you into the hellfire. And no one will be able to help you then. So we have to call to this deen of Allah on, not with knowledge and proof, and that this is one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men, is that he should make da'wah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on clear proofs and knowledge. We also see from this ayat that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, and they enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. And that this is also among the responsibilities of the Muslim men, that they enjoin what is right and that they forbid what is evil or what is wrong. And enjoining what is right, or al-ma'ruf, is everything that's good, that has been labeled as good by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-munkar, or that which is wrong or evil, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has deemed or termed evil or bad or wicked. And that it's not by the desires of the people to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, but we enjoin what is right with the permission of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we forbid what is wrong, as been clarified to us by our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had called the Muslim men, or the Muslim ummah, the best ummah, or the best nation of humanity, because we enjoin what is right and we forbid what is wrong. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ali Imran, verse number 110, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, you are the best nation raised up for humanity. You enjoin what is right and you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only raised us to this level of being the best ummah is because we enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah. And if we ever leave that, then we're going to be other than that, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained and will clarify inshallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches the men how to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Imam Muslim says, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That whoever among you sees a wrong, then change it with his hand. And if he does, if he's not able to, change it with his tongue. And if he's not able to, then hate it in his heart. And that is the weakest part of Iman, or that is the weakest part of faith. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us how to change the wrong. When we see it, we just change it. And we don't have to be get permission from the person who's doing wrong to change that wrong. A brother left his shoes downstairs in the masjid with cigarettes in them. One of the young boys wanted to throw those cigarettes in the garbage, and an older brother said, what are you doing? Those not your shoes. Leave that man's property alone. The boy came up to me and told me what's going on. I said, man, throw that filth in the garbage. And then admonish the man who you threw his filth in the garbage. At any rate, the brother prevented him again from throwing those filthy cigarettes in the garbage until the brother took them and left. We don't have to ask permission from the one who's doing wrong to change his wrong. We just change it with our hands if we have the ability. And then if we don't, we speak about it against it, and this is by using our tongues. And if we don't even have the ability to do that because we are fearful of our lives or harm will come to us, then we hate it in our hearts. And besides hating it in your heart, there's no more iman after that. If you don't hate in your heart what is wrong, then there's no iman in your heart. And I hope that that brother who allowed those cigarettes to go there, that he hasn't lost at least a hate in his heart for that which is wrong. Because a responsibility of the Muslim men is to change that which is wrong with their hands. As this hadith was narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where one of the men saw the Khalifa on the day of Eid, he got up to give the khutbah before the salah. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had established for us on the day of Eid that we make the salah and then do the khutbah. The man stood up, snatched the Khalifa off the minbar and told him, you're not going to do nothing other than what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam did. You can imagine the bodyguards and the security of the Khalifa got up and stepped to that man. Not the way you do it nowadays, but you pull your sword out and tell him, you look like you're about to lose your head. And then the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and said, leave that man alone. Because he has done that which is required of him. He has fulfilled his responsibility. Because indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ, to the end of this hadith. That whoever among you sees a wrong, then let him change it with his hand. Let him change it with his hand means, I command you to change it with your hand. And that this is one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men, that when they see a wrong, that they change it with their hand. And the reason, or the understanding behind the statement of the Messenger of Allah, if you're not able to, then with your tongue. Sometimes you're just not able to. Maybe it's a little boy, he sees one of the older brothers smoking, what is he going to do? He ain't going to reach up and change it, especially if the brother say, you better get out of here, boy. What is he going to do? So he can speak about it. Akhi, you should know better than that. Fear Allah, don't do it. Even maybe he might be fearful, as it might be a whole group of brothers. And he's from another masjid. And he see the brothers in front of the masjid smoking, and he's small and stuff. Maybe he's afraid, even if he talks, that they might jump him or something. And you know how the criminal Muslims do. They think that it's permissible to harm the believers. And even many of them go as far to think that the blood of the believers is halal when they try to stop them from doing their criminal act of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we find that we find ourselves in a situation where we think that there may be harm, if we use our hands, then we use our tongue. And if we feel that there's harm, then we hate it in our heart, and there's nothing beyond hating it in your heart. That everything wrong that you see, you have to hate it in your heart. And this is important for us as we live in the land of munkar. We live in the land of evil and wrong. And that we see it so much every day that if we don't watch our deen, we won't even hate it in our heart. We'll see people smoking and we don't even say nothing. We don't even feel anything in our hearts when we see people walking down the street with their pants all off their butt. We don't even hate it in our hearts. It's indecency. And if it ever comes to our hearts that we don't hate it, then there's no iman in that heart that doesn't hate that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hates. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the consequences of the Muslim men not fulfilling this responsibility of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأَوَ الْمُنْكَرَ وَلَا يُغَيِّرُونَهُ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يُعَمَّمَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِإِقَابِهِ. And this narration is authentically collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed humanity, and of course the Muslim men are at the forefront of humanity, inshallah ta'ala. If they see a wrong and they do not change it, then it is close that Allah may punish them along with the people who are doing wrong. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing us the Muslim men the responsibility or the consequences of not living up to fulfilling our responsibility of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would just make us with the people that He's going to punish. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأَوَ الظَّالِمْ فَلَمْ يَخُذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يُعَمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِيقَابٍ مِّنْهُ. That if the people see an oppressive person, a wrongdoer, an individual, and he doesn't stop him, and the people do not stop him, then it's close or it's soon that Allah will get all of them together in the punishment. And I'm glad that this hadith came up, as I was just mentioning today in the khutbah. It seems like some people in our community have gone too far with their oppression and their doing wrong and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I want to tell the believers that if we don't stand up on this deen of truth and prevent those oppressive wrongdoers from spreading the wrong in our community, then Allah is going to punish us along with them. And we don't think that we can stand in the community and see someone doing wrong and say, well, that's on him, let him do that. It's like the example that the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi said, if you was on a boat, and other people were on that boat and they paid for their spot on that boat, and one of the people on the lower deck said, I want to put a hole in my part of the boat.
I paid for it. It's mine. I'm going to put a hole in it. If the people said, okay, it's yours. You paid for it. Do what you want with your own property. If they do that, he would be destroyed and all of the people would be destroyed with him. And if the people stopped him, then he would be saved and the people would be saved along with him. We have to stop thinking this Christianity foolish and this garbage that people can do wrong and we sit there and watch it and don't do nothing and that's okay. Achi, just let him go. All he's doing is putting a hole in the boat. I mean, he paid for it, achi. It ain't that bad. It's just going to be a little hole. You can imagine what a little hole in the bottom of the boat is going to mean hours down the line. And this is how we have to look at some of the criminal activity that's secretly taking place in the community, that if we let that thing fester until it gets big, then the people will be destroyed and we're going to be destroyed along with them. So let's not take this Christian foolish attitude of let everybody do whatever they want to. God is going to handle everything. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to handle everything. And Allah tells us in some of the verses in Quran that he destroyed the disbelievers by the hands of the believers. And that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will put the people who stray from the path in check by the hands of the believers. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala out of his wisdom chooses to handle a situation by himself, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala handled the disbelievers of Arabia when they all combined together to destroy the Muslims in Medina, when they said, listen, let's put our differences aside, as the disbelievers say today, and this united coalition stuff. Let's put our differences aside until we destroy the people who are on truth, and then we start fighting again with one another and bring up our differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all of the people gathered against the Muslims, Allah just destroyed them by himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made the weather unbearable and the conditions unbearable until the disbelievers had to go back home and not fight the Muslims. Allah destroyed them by himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah had also destroyed the disbelievers and the people against Islam by the hands of the believers. And we know of many of the battles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions where they destroyed and they crushed the disbelievers and even the Muslims who have strayed from that which is correct, as we know from the time of Abu Bakr and as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by the hands of the believers. So for the Muslims, men with no backbones and no spines and no courage to stand on this deen of the truth and fulfill their responsibilities of men, don't be surprised when the real men stand up to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. Among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to try to perfect their character. And that is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and the Muwatta of Imam Malik, and other than those collections of hadith, where he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَفِي رِوَايَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have only been sent. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, I have only been sent, he's not saying it to mean that he's restricting his messengership or his prophethood to this thing alone, but it's to show the importance of that thing. That I have only been sent to perfect the character, noble character. Or I have only been sent to perfect or to complete righteous character. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had been sent to humanity to perfect the characters of the believers. And as we were mentioning that the Muslim men are in the forefront of humanity because they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and believe in Allah, that among their responsibilities is to try to perfect their character and to make their character righteous. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam commands us to treat the people with good character in the hadith that's famous from the 40 hadith collection, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبَعِ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلِقٍ حَسَنٍ. I command you to fear Allah wherever you are, to follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will wipe it away, and to treat the people with good character. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ in this hadith is commanding us to live with the people in good character. And that this is one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men, is to perfect their character. and that the Muslims with the better character are the better believers. That the better your character is, the better you are as a believer. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ tells us in the hadith of Abu Dawood, in Imam al-Tirmidhi, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That the believers with the most complete or perfect iman are those of them with the best character. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith is showing us that one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to perfect his character, to learn how to spread the salam among the people he knows, among the Muslims and those who he don't know, to smile to the believers, to help the believers as much as he's able to love for them what he loves for himself, to visit the believers when they're sick, to say Alhamdulillah if they sneeze, to say Yarhamukallah if they sneeze and say Alhamdulillah, to make the janazah salat, to accept the invitations when they extend their invitations. And the other things that we find in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the good character of being kind to our parents, keeping good family ties, and all of the things that our Lord and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has enjoined upon us from the things that are good character. And as we are the Muslim men who have left jahiliyyah and left the character, inshallah, of the disbelievers, it's important, if not more important, for us to really fulfill this responsibility of perfecting our character, as we have left a character among the worst characters in the world. And Allah knows best. So among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to perfect their character, and that the Muslim man's character isn't only when he's on the musalla, but it's when he's in his house. That the Muslim man's character isn't only when he's on the musalla, but it's when he's in his house with his wife. As unfortunately we see that brothers, they come to the masjid and it appears to us that they have good character, and then when they go home we see that the women are complaining that the men are beating them, that the men are talking harshly to them, that the men are being unfair to them, that the men aren't being just with them. We see these things, and the Muslim men have to know. And yesterday we all witnessed when the women had expressed their complaints that they were many. Even if the women might transgress the bounds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, if they did that last night when they were expressing their complaint that our character has yet to be perfected, rather is nowhere near being perfected. So brothers, we have to know that our Muslim character isn't when we're in the masjid, but it's when we're in our homes, and also when we're on the streets. If we go to the marketplace, we're Muslim, wherever we are, as Allah tabaraka, as the Prophet ﷺ had commanded, fear Allah wherever you are, and treat the people with good character, as he stated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of that hadith. So we all have to remember that the responsibility of the Muslim man in trying to perfect his character isn't when he's around the brothers. Because the brothers, we can put one another in check. So of course, you know, that's going to be an added benefit in helping us fulfill that responsibility, especially when the other brother won't accept that. I mean, it's a bigger encouragement for us to perfect our character. But how about when we're home with our wives, who can't defend themselves against us? Are we going to perfect our character then? When we're around the Muslim children, smoking and carrying on, and then when they admonish us, then we want to fight them. Beat them, get out of here boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Is our character only going to be better when we're around the people who will not tolerate other than that? Or is our character going to be perfected wherever we are, as the Prophet ﷺ had commanded us to fear Allah wherever we are? We're not going to be able to, as men, to fulfill our responsibilities of worshipping our Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala, of calling the people to this tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statement of La ilaha illallah. We're not going to be able to enjoin what is right and to forbid what is wrong. We're not going to be able to perfect our character. We're not going to be able to fulfill any of these responsibilities as Muslim men if we don't fulfill the responsibility of seeking knowledge. Because you need knowledge to worship your Lord, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I command you to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here that we have to have knowledge before we do something. And we know Imam al-Bukhari had put a chapter in his Sahih, knowledge before action. Because if you don't have any knowledge, what are you going to act upon other than your ignorance? And we don't have to mention any examples of people acting on ignorance as we see it every day. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and other than Imam al-Tirmidhi, طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. That seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam made it very simple and very clear that we have to seek knowledge. And this is the responsibility of the Muslim men, as their other responsibilities are going to be based on fulfilling this responsibility of seeking knowledge. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, as the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam encourages us in other hadith, as he does in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants good for, He gives them the understanding of this deen. And this statement from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is an encouragement for the people to seek knowledge. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam has stated, that if you have that knowledge, then Allah has wanted some good for you. And we know the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at least part of it, خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام, that the best of you in jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam. And we have to know the other part that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam added to that, إِذَا فَقُهُ, if they have an understanding of this deen. So those people who we've heard among the Muslims praising about those days of jahiliyyah and kufr, and all of the papers and pies they sold and stuff, that stuff doesn't mean anything until you get an understanding of this deen. So people shouldn't be talking about the days of ignorance as if they're the days of glory, as there's no benefit for anyone who doesn't understand this deen of Islam. The sister says, a sister has the desire to correct a wrong. Her husband tells her to mind her business should she disobey him. No, she should not disobey him, but she should try to correct that wrong in a manner that is best. And we have mentioned in the ladies' class that the women, they should use their feminine qualities in order to convince the men of their wrong, so that hopefully the men would turn back to obedience to their Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sister and the man could remain as husband and wife, because we've seen enough of divorce. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the next hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim in his book on history, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ, that indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. And I don't know any hadith more stronger on the people of knowledge of this world than this hadith. The people who have attained some level of status or knowledge or position based on their knowledge of this world, when they hear this hadith, they're the first people who want to complain. Because the people who have the knowledge of this world and the position of this world and the status of this world and the respect of the people, they think that it should always be like that and that that's the most important thing in life. But when they come to know that the people who have knowledge of this deen and are practicing this deen and are calling to this deen are better than them if they don't learn this deen, they have a problem. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set the record straight so that we would know what type of knowledge is beneficial to us or more beneficial to us and for us, and that the real position is with the people who have the knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's deen and the actions that go along with it. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world and ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. That all of the knowledge and the experience and the status and the respect and the material wealth that you have earned from this world, it means nothing until you have knowledge of the hereafter. That it means nothing until you have knowledge of the hereafter. And that the people who unfortunately are affected more so by this hadith, they should just know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam came to humanity to make things clear to the people so that no one could have an excuse before their Lord. So for the people who have complained that they have something to offer to the Muslims and that the Muslims aren't willing to accept it from them, then we're telling those people who have the skills of this world, come offer the skills that you have of this world, but make sure you get the knowledge of this deen, because no one needs anything you have if you don't have knowledge of this deen. And that we should know that nowadays, alhamdulillah, as we're beginning to understand this deen better, that we know we don't have any need of no one, of anyone who doesn't worship his Lord, who isn't obedient to his Lord, who's not on the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your doctor's degrees, all your money and everything you got, nobody who loves this deen needs it, wants it, cares about it, or is even thinking about it until you start practicing Islam. And we should let the kuffar know this, that we shouldn't be intimidated at all by anything we see that they have of knowledge and experience and material wealth of this dunya, because it's not going to benefit them any. They're not going to take it with them when they meet Allah. And we've seen in these days of Afro, whatever, that the people going back to this Egypt, Kufr, digging up some tombs and gold and being all amazed as if they have some glorious history of Kufr, and out there praise, talking to the people, standing as if they're proud of their heritage of Kufr, those people left fortunes behind. Did they go with them? We see them here, we see it nowadays. We saw what's in those pyramids and what those people left behind. They take it with them. It's going to benefit them when they meet their Lord. And those people following behind them, all happy over some gold, and they ain't got none themselves, they think that this stuff is going to benefit them in the hereafter. And even some of the Muslims, we think that we're going to be successful. We think that we're going to be successful. Not that we just think that we're going to be successful. We think that the only way that we're going to be successful is to rely on those people who have no share of the hereafter. Or those Muslims who have no practice of Islam because they have what they have in this world. We think we need them? Wallahi, we don't need the help or the money of no Muslim who don't want to practice Islam. And for all of those Muslims, if anybody is afraid to tell them, I'll tell them, we don't need nothing you have if you don't want to practice this deen of Islam. And all of the Muslims, we shouldn't be biting our tongues from these half-stepping, not fulfilling their responsibility, weak Muslim men, because they have something in this dunya, and they can come and praise, themselves in front of us because we're struggling. We shouldn't be worried, or we shouldn't be fearful of biting our tongues and telling him, brother, that stuff ain't going to benefit you nothing if you don't practice this deen of Islam. And I don't want nothing you got, because I'm afraid if I take that munkar with me, that Allah will punish me along with you when he punishes you for being disobedient to him. So among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to seek this knowledge. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this next narration is also praising knowledge and the people of knowledge. And this hadith collected by Ibn Majah, سَيَأْتِيكُمْ أَقْوَامٌ يَطْلُبُونَ الْعِلْمِ فَإِذَا The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَيَأْتِيكُمْ أَقْوَامٌ يَطْلُبُونَ الْعِلْمِ فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ فَقُولُوا لَهُمْ مَرْحَبًا بِوَصِيَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَأَفْتُوهُمْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will come to you a group of people who seek knowledge. So if you see them, then say to them, مَرْحَبًا, or they call it welcome or something like that. You know, a statement showing that you are receiving those people. Welcome or something like that. Marhaban, you people who have the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then question them concerning your deen. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam is showing us the people who we should welcome, they are the people of knowledge. And that this is a responsibility of the Muslim man to seek this knowledge so that he can be among the people that the rest of the Muslims, when they see him, they can say, Marhaban bi wasiyati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we fulfill, as we were saying, our responsibility as Muslim men in seeking the knowledge of this deen, then we would be able to handle our other responsibilities of worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, of calling to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, striving to perfect our character. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives us this knowledge and He allows us to fulfill our responsibilities, He won't just snatch that knowledge away from us, as we had mentioned recently from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَالِمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. That Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, indeed Allah would not snatch away the knowledge by just snatching it away. Rather, the knowledge would be snatched away by the dying off of the ulama. So much so, until there's no scholar left, and the people take the ignorant as their leaders, and they question them, and they answer without any knowledge. In another narration, they answer with their own opinions, and they go astray, and they lead others astray. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men are to choose those people who are knowledgeable to be their leaders. And this isn't, as it may be quick to come to our minds, this isn't just for the position of the imam in the masjid or teaching Islamic studies in the Muslim schools. That if we want to look for these positions, then we want to look to the knowledgeable. These are in every position of leadership among the Muslims. We want to look to the people who are knowledgeable of this deed. Just as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did. He had people around him that he put in charge, but those people had knowledge of this deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't make the ignorant in charge of the people because they had skills in a particular thing. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he put the people in charge who were fit to be in charge. And we know the example of the adhan. As Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the one who saw in the dream the wording of the adhan that we now hear calling us to the salah. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam heard this, he said, go teach Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that adhan and allow him to call the adhan. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam chose the people who were fit for the job, the people who had knowledge of this deen and skill of that particular thing. Unfortunately, sometimes, forgetting the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter, we think that we can put someone in leadership position because he has some skill of this dunya, even though he has no share of the knowledge of this deen. I think that it's time for us Muslim men to fulfill our responsibility and not to place anyone in charge of us in any position until that person has some knowledge of this deen and then the knowledge of that particular issue. And the knowledge of the deen is more important. and the knowledge of the deen is more important, because the help of Allah is with the believers. Because the help of Allah is with the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He makes something easy for you, then it's easy. And we know from the example of the battle of Badr, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers had nothing to defend themselves against the disbelievers except their iman. That they were 300, a little over 300, and the disbelievers were 1,000. How did the believers beat them when they were the poorest of the people? And we know the example that the first people who accept the truth from the messengers are the poor people. And that this was one of the excuses of the people. Ya Rasulullah, if those poor people weren't with you, maybe we follow you. And this was the example that the people of old had said to their prophet, that we want to follow you except you got the poor people with you. People who have no skills, no money, no worldly possessions, those were the people who fought the battle of Badr. And they were the people who were victorious with the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So much so that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam had said to the people of Badr, do whatever you like. Allah has forgiven you and has entered you into Jannah. So this is the consequences, this is the reward of the people who didn't have any share of this dunya, only knowledge of this deen and iman and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As we know, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had described them, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. He is the one who sent amongst the illiterate a messenger from among them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent this deen to the illiterate Arabs. People who had nothing of this dunya, but they had iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this is what made them successful. And the only way as Muslim men or as a Muslim ummah we're going to be successful if we get the knowledge of this deen, to increase our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then practice this deen, as this is success. You're going to go to the kafirs and what they have to offer thinking that that's your success when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord and we worship Him. So one of the responsibilities of the Muslim man is to choose his leaders, not just in the Islamic studies department, but in all of the departments of leadership, that we should choose the people who have deen. That we should choose the people who have deen. And I'm sad for the people who choose the ignorant as their leaders after we know the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So don't be surprised that some of the brothers, when they say, so and so is in charge of that, you must be crazy you think I'm going to follow that stuff. You must be crazy you think I'm going to support the efforts of such and such, so and so in charge. People looking at you like you're crazy. Tell him the days of the nation of Kufr are over and the days of Islam are here. And we don't need to take those stupid pimps as our leaders and to be prostitutes for them anymore after the guidance of this deen has come to us. So we have to know that the times have changed, walhamdulillah, and that we're not going to tolerate in any form of leadership except the people who have some knowledge of this deen. Among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to get married. To marry a righteous lady, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam tells us in the authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, a Muslim, Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام says, O you group of young people, of young men, I command you to get married if you have the ability to do so. Because indeed, this is better for lowering your gaze and guarding your private parts. And whoever is not able to, then I command him to fast, because it is a means of castration. It is a means from removing his sexual desire. So among the responsibilities of the Muslim men, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us in this authentic hadith, is to marry a lady. And that this is an important responsibility of the Muslim men. So we're reminding those men who aren't married to get married, as this is one of your responsibilities. And for the men who have room to get married, Then we ask you to get married, as this is one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men, to marry the women and to have a lot of children so that we could be the biggest ummah, as we're going to see from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah, after he has encouraged us to get married, he has given us guidance, and his guidance is the finest guidance on who we should marry. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعَ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَدِهَا وَلِجِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدَّيْنِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, a lady is married for four reasons: for her wealth, for her status, for her beauty, and for her deen. Take the lady with the deen and you'll be straight. Or as the Prophet ﷺ meant when he said, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing us, or giving us guidance, that when we marry a lady, we're marrying her because of her deen. And don't be among the foolish who say, well, the Prophet said that the women are married for four, so I'm marrying her. SubhanAllah, you see how the sister look? Maybe her deen will get together afterwards. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to give us the finest guidance, and we shouldn't belittle the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such stupidity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is telling us to marry the lady for the deen. And if you didn't have any knowledge of that, then you would see the consequences of marrying that lady for her beauty. And you can just ask some of the brothers, they can tell you the story. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has given us more guidance in which type of women to marry, as he said, as we mentioned last night, from the hadith of Imam Muslim, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهُ مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ صَالِحَةٌ. That all of this dunya is a commodity or a piece of possession, and that the best of the commodities, or the best of that which you can possess of this dunya, is a righteous lady. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that, or guiding us to marry a righteous lady. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in this next hadith, collected by Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, لِيَتَّخِذْ أَحَدُكُمْ قَلْبًا شَاكِرًا وَلِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا وَزَوْجَةً مُؤْمِنًا تُعِينُ أَحَدَكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ. In this authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I command you to have a thankful heart, and a tongue that remembers Allah, and a believing wife that would help you with the affairs of the hereafter. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using, in different words, marry a lady who is righteous. Marry a lady who is believing in her Lord tabarak wa ta'ala and obedient to Him. Marry a lady who has this deen. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam gave us some other characteristics also to look for after she has the deen. The deen is the first thing we're looking for, and then we're looking for that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in the hadith of Abu Dawood, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ فَإِنِّي مَكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I advise you to marry the women who are loving. Marry the women who are going to really love their husband, and love to be loved by their husband, and to marry the women who are fruitful, who can have children, because I want to have the biggest ummah, or the ummah with the most, the largest amount of numbers from the rest of the ummah who came before the Muslims. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is giving us guidance on top of the deen. Once the deen is intact, akhi, I'm thinking, do you have a sister that I can marry because I'm looking to get married? Yes, I have a sister, she has good deen, and she's looking to get married. Okay. Then you want to look, is she loving? And that the people around her, the other sisters, or her father, her brother, and her son, they will know if she's the type of lady that is loving, or is she the type that's other than that. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, had given us some other guidance after this, and that when he was questioned, أَيُّ النِّسَاءِ خَيْرٍ فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم خير النساء التي تسره إذا نظر إليه إذا نظر وتطيعه إذا أمر
ولا تخالفه في نفسها ومالها بما يكره.
And this is I forgot to write it down. And this is the authentic hadith collected on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think that it's collected by Imam Ibn Majah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned, which are the best women? And he said, the best women are the ones, when you look at them, they please you. And when you command them, they obey you. And they don't oppose you with themselves or their wealth in a way that would be displeasing to you. Meaning that in general, those women aren't against you. If you have a little bit of money, they don't mind. If you have a lot, alhamdulillah. If they can chip in, alhamdulillah. If they can't, alhamdulillah. That they are the type of women that are just down with their husbands. These are the type of women that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised and encouraged the Muslim men to choose when they're fulfilling their responsibility of marrying the women. After the men have married the women, it's a part of our responsibility to live with them in kindness. As Allah commands us, وَعَشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And I command you to live with the women in kindness. That means we should speak to her kindly, we should treat her kindly, we should be kind to her and providing for her, kind to her and clothing her, kind to her and sheltering her, kind to her and teaching her this deen, kind to her when it comes to taking care of the house by helping out every now and then. Every now and then. We should be kind to the sisters in every way that a man could be kind to a lady, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had commanded the men to be kind to their women. And as many of the women have complained that these men are being harsh with them, mentally, if not physically, by talking down to them and bad to them, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded you to do the opposite of that. So if we find ourselves being unkind to our wives, even if our women don't say anything to us, we have to repent to Allah. And we have to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And we have to change our ways. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish the people who are disobedient to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His safety. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went on to clarify the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and live with them in kindness, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added something, so you wouldn't think like some of the people think, because someone has some knowledge of this deen, that they don't know what time it is. They don't know what's happening around them, because they only know qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam is giving you some advice so that you could see that not only after you have been commanded to live in kindness with the women, but that the Messenger of Allah is going to show you that he knows the nature of the women, and on top of that, you have to be kind to them. As he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, استوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإن المرأة خلقت من دلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه فإن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته وَإِن تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ أَعْوَجْ فَاسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. The Messenger of Allah sallam said, I advise you, I command you to be nice to the women. Because indeed the women were created from the rib, and the most crooked part of the rib is the uppermost part of the rib. So if you try to straighten it, you would break it. And if you left it alone, it will remain crooked. I command you, I advise you to be nice to the women. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa he's showing you, be nice to the women, be nice to the women. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that the women were created from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and that they have a little crookedness with them. That crookedness isn't for the men to say, sister, I know you like that, you just crooked. You got that. That's a bad statement to talk down with the sister, to talk down to the sister with, by using this hadith in a way to oppress her mentally. But this guidance is for the men to see that the women, they're different from the men. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى.
that the male is not like the female. And that the Prophet ﷺ had told us, if you try to straighten them, make them just like you, then you're going to break them. In the other narration, he said, breaking them is divorcing them. And if you leave them alone, then they'll remain crooked. If you just let the lady just be just like that, do whatever she wants to do, then that's just what she's going to do. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing us to try to seek a way in between. Don't just let the lady do whatever she likes. Even if she tells you, you ain't my father, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Yes, you are. You want to tell her, yes, I am. I'm going to tell you what to do. No, I'm not your father. Yes, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's going to be like this. You can't leave the women alone or they'll remain crooked, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, I command you to be nice to the women. And it's a responsibility of the men to try to help and correct the situation of the women. Because if you leave those women alone, you're not being kind to them. If you let your wife do whatever she wants to do, you're not fulfilling your responsibility as a Muslim man. Women aren't to be left alone to do whatever they want to do. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us guidance. And sisters, and this is just added for the sisters who might hear this, this isn't from myself and this isn't from any brother, but that this statement was around 1400 years from the time that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent his last prophet and messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to humanity with the finest guidance. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best and you don't know. Allah knows best and you don't know. And we should take this attitude if we ever hear a text from the book of Allah or that which has been authentically reported on the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we hear something that goes against us, then we should check ourselves and not the ayat of Allah or the hadith of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, or to do as people do, they try to attack the person who brought the hadith. As the brother is going to defend one of the sheikh of the sunnah, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, because the people are attacking him. Why are you attacking him? Because he told you to grow your beard? Because he taught the women to wear the jilbab and the khimar? This is why you're going to attack him? Because he stood up in the face of the oppressive government and he called to the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and stood firm on the truth? This is why you're going to talk against someone? Because he says something against your madhab with the hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he says something against the scholars of your government, from the people of your masjid, with his evidences from the Quran and the sunnah? You're going to hold something against that person? It's like they used to say about those stinking Shia, the cowards from among the munafiqeen. Cowards because they don't have the courage to stand up and say, we kafirs, we disbelievers, we hate Islam, we enemies of Islam, and we hate you, and we hate the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't have the courage to say that. So what they do is, they attack the people of this deed. Abu Huraira is a liar. Aisha is a fornicator. And radiallahu anhuma. This is the language of the coward. He attacks the person who is carrying the message because he doesn't have the courage to stand up to the message. He doesn't have the courage to stand up to the message, so he attacks the one who's bringing the message. We shouldn't be like those thinking stupid Shia. And really, we should just call them the Rafida or the Rawafid, because that's what they are. They just left Islam. And this is the name that the ulama of Islam have given those people, the Rafida. And they hate you to call them the Rafida when you see them, because they know what it means. And they know, you know their program. And nowadays, unfortunately, some of the Muslims, they want to attack the person who brought the text. You hear that brother going around saying, anything below the ankle is in the hellfire. That brother ain't saying nothing. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, came with the finest guidance. When them niggas on the street told you to wear your pants all off yourself, you ain't say nothing then, you just followed them. Joker said, shave your hair and put dreads on the top. Don't comb the top till it gets so knotty, till it look like a devil. Do that, and then shave the side like that, and put a little tail on the back. You do all of that stuff and you don't question it, and then you question the finest guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by attacking the people that bring this guidance to you. But we should stop being cowards and stand up to this deen and say that which the people who came before us said, سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, O our Lord, and to you we will return. Among the responsibilities of the Muslim men is to provide and to, as they say, to maintain the Muslim women or their wives. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. To the end of that ayah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us the men are قوامون over the women, that the men are the providers and the maintainers of the women. The men are the people who are going to keep the women on the right track because of that which Allah has blessed some with virtues over others, and because they provide out of their wealth. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing quite a few of the responsibilities of the Muslim men, as one of them is to provide out of their wealth for the women, for their wives, for their mothers, for their sisters, for their daughters, for the women in Islam. The men have to earn their living to provide for the women of Islam, and that this is one of the responsibilities of the Muslim men. And to maintain the sister, as we say, and one of the brothers was asking, is maintaining like other than providing for them? This word that they usually say, maintaining, it means to do that which would make the women straight or upright. To do that which the sister needs to have done so that she could fear her Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, as he ought to be feared. And here we get into the issue of the Muslim men establishing the Muslim community and the Muslim households for the Muslim women. It's a responsibility of the Muslim man to provide in a way that the lady has an environment that's conducive to her practicing Islam. How can we men say we're providing if our women have to hear the insult of the kafir calling a sister, are you a ninja, or what's that? How could we say that we're actually providing for the Muslim women and maintaining them if we subject them to this corrupt society that we have subjected our women to? This providing and maintaining is more than just giving the lady some money. It's more than just giving the lady some money. And some of that money that we give the lady with, we buy the haram for her. And say, sister, you see how much haram I bought for you? Why are you complaining? I bought you that house. You said you wanted the house. All right, so what? I had to be disobedient to my Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, to get it. You said you wanted that nice car. You wasn't satisfied with that $1,000 bomb I drive you in. You told me to get on one of those payment plans. And disobedience to my Lord, so that now you can drive the fancy car and feel comfortable with the air conditioner and the leather seats and what have you. It's not upon these Muslim men to provide the haram for the women and consider that to be maintaining because you gave them some of this dunya. But you're providing for them and you're maintaining them. It's establishing an Islamic environment for them so that they can fear their Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. And for the men, all of us, who think just because we are so weak that we haven't established any type of Islamic environment for our women, that all of the Muslim men are weak like us, then let us know that Muslim men around the world have established communities for their Muslim women. And the brothers who have been to Arabia, they can see the Muslim environment for the women. That the women walk and nobody talks. Nobody talks to the Muslim lady. How you doing, sister? Look, nobody's talking to the Muslim lady. If the Muslim lady comes into a bank or into a store or is walking down the street, the men step to the side because they know they want the same thing done for their mother, for their sister, for their wife, for their daughters. The Islamic society has been established. We're trying to establish schools, and our pockets are heavy with money, and the schools are in need of money. We can't even establish a school. We think all of the men are weak like us, spineless like us, no backbone, not fulfilling their responsibilities like us. In Arabia, every school is a Muslim school except for those couple of Kafir schools that they built. And in the other Muslim countries, the Muslim people have established Muslim schools, Muslim supermarkets, Muslim everything. So don't think that every man hasn't fulfilled his responsibility like we haven't fulfilled our responsibility. And let's not be among the people who don't consider moving to where the Muslim men have fulfilled their responsibility so that we can join in fulfilling the responsibility of the Muslim men and providing for them. And this is a point that the Muslim men need to reflect on, and that is the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 7, لِيُنْفِقَ بُسَاعَةٍ مِّن سَاعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, I command the rich man to give his wealth like he's rich to his family. And I command the poor man to give of that which Allah has given to him. Allah doesn't burden a soul except with that which he has given it. The Muslim men provide according to their means. If you only have a little bit of means to provide for your women, for your wives, don't say, I'm not going to Jumu'ah. I got to get that extra 2 hours to provide for my family. What kind of provision are you providing for your family? You're the biggest sinner for your family. You're providing deviance for your family, disobedience for your family. What those dollars going to do to your family when you set in the example of not worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for your family after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had made you in charge of your family and has made you the one who is supposed to set the example for the family? The Muslim men are supposed to set an example for their family so that the women and the children, they can look up to the husband and the example that he's setting. We have to provide for the women out of our means, and this doesn't mean, okay, I can't earn enough money, as the sisters were trying to force the brothers last night to say, if you don't earn enough money, get a job. Then the brother want to go sell drugs to try to earn a little extra money to make his wife happy. We shouldn't let the women push us to disobedience of our Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala, or disobedience of our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by demanding we provide out of other than what Allah has provided us with. If Allah tests us with a little bit, we're just going to give her a little bit. Like it or don't like it, sister, you're going to get a little bit. And that we shouldn't be worried about, oh, you better go earn some more. Oh, I deserve more than this. You deserve just what your Lord gave you, sister. That's what you deserve. And we shouldn't be lacking in our backbone and telling the sister, sister, I'm going to give you out of my means just like my Lord told me to. This is what we have. I mean, you don't have to say it in a harsh way, but to say it nicely to the sister, but to let her know, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm thankful and I'm grateful to him for providing for me in the manner that he provides for me. As I know, if Allah didn't provide for me, I wouldn't have anything. And I'm providing for you out of what Allah provided me with. The sisters, they should be happy with that. And the sisters who aren't happy with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages the men to provide for them. And if you don't, then the women can take your wealth from them for that which is sufficient for them. As Allah's Messenger had said to the wife of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala an Abu Sufyan, خُذِي مِن مَالِهِ مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَيَكْفِي بَنِيكِ. The Messenger of Allah told her, because her husband was stingy with giving the wealth, take whatever you need from his wealth for yourself and for your children. Here, this is for the men, if you know that you're a little tight-fisted with your money, and every now and then you see that your money is missing a little bit, know your wife got the right to that wealth, because you have to provide for your wife.
and your children, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take what's sufficient for yourself and what's sufficient for your children. That the men have to provide for the women. That the men have to provide for the women and their children. And this point that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is ending off this statement to the sister, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, is take what's sufficient for yourself and your children. And that there's no, that this hadith is the dalil and the proof that men have to provide for their children. Meaning it's compulsory on the Muslim man to provide for his children. And as the ulama say, there's no difference of opinion in the issue. So you can't run to somebody else because you say you don't like him and go get another fatwa, because there's only one fatwa. Muslim men have to provide for their children. Why in the world sisters complaining, Muslim men? Wallahi, as a sister, she's been looking for a brother. Rather, we've been looking for that brother for months. He only comes on Jumu'ah, and we can't get out the masjid fast enough to catch him before he goes. He ain't been providing for his children. And we saw the complaints yesterday where the women are saying that the men aren't providing for their children. The responsibility of the Muslim man is to provide for his children. This is no difference of opinion in this issue. It's compulsory on the Muslim man to provide for his children. He's going to provide out of his means. Stop worrying, oh, the sister might take some of the money, oh, I know how they... You got to provide for your child. Go give, put the money in your child's hand. If you think the sister going to take the money or whatever, go put the money in your son's hand. Her son, this is for you and for the rest of my children. Her daughter, this is for you and for the rest of my children. The Muslim men, they have to provide for their children. And it's sad that so many women have to rely on their husbands, who are not the fathers of their children, to provide for their spineless ex-husband's children. How in the world could Allah guide us to this deen of Islam and we still acting like kuffar on the street, having babies and not providing for them? This is the character of the disbeliever, to have a child and not support it. The way of the believer is to support their children. I know a man, alhamdulillah, I met in New York. He's looking for his children to provide for them. Because a man married his wife, took the children off from this masjid, didn't tell the man where his children at. He's looking to provide. He ain't worrying, what's done is done. Me and my wife broke up, she's with another man, I'm sad, whatever, I got over it. But my children, mine, I want to provide for them. And I wish the husband would at least just let me have a P.O. box so I can mail money to him so he can give to my children. And the husband won't even do that. We got men like this, alhamdulillah. How can we have a man like this setting an example for us, and we know where our children are, and we don't give them anything but a dollar or two or a quarter or something to buy a piece of candy? This is a serious responsibility of the Muslim men, and they have to fulfill this responsibility of providing for their wives and their children.